in this place this morning. Do you agree with me this morning? Let me hear a great amen this morning. Do you agree with me this morning? The Spirit of God, the anointing of God is in this place. God is preparing our hearts for greater things. Amen. And what I love about this church, what I love about this community is that you're hungry to know more about God, to know more about God and to experience more of His presence in your life. Church, we cannot do it without the Spirit of God. We cannot do it without the Spirit of God. And I'll be sharing that with you this morning. Flesh cannot defeat the flesh. It is only the Spirit of God who can defeat the flesh. Do you agree with me this morning? Before we get into the Word this morning, I want to say welcome to every one of you this morning that's with us. If it's the first time you're with us this morning, I just pray that you enjoyed the presence of God and do we enjoy the worship. They've done an awesome job, and I'm so thankful that they were sensitive to the Spirit of God. They're led by the Spirit of God, and that's the most important thing. It is not by flesh, but they're led by the Spirit of God to lead us into praise and to worship and to just draw closer to Jesus every time. So we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your wonderful hand of God upon our musicians. Amen? Are you with me this morning? I seen you're a little bit down, a little bit sad. But if you slept late last night, I'll wake you up this morning. Let me tell you that. It's not going to be quiet. But I want to share with you, I've met with the Eunice Diaz. She's back in the hospital. She wasn't doing too well. She's where she had a surgery. She was had some discharge there. And now she's just getting cured for that. We prayed. We had a good time together. She sends greetings to the whole church. And she wants to say thank you. For the whole church for praying for her and continue to pray for her. You know, if you have a time, a moment, it would be nice to go out and just visit her. It's a matter of us a couple of minutes of your time, even if it's 5 minutes of your time. I'm telling you, you will leave that place encouraged and blessed. She actually is teaching us how to live Christ, to have a live with Christ. And that's amazing to know. And have people of God and men of God and women of God are in hospital beds and they're praying for us. And that's just a slap in the face. You and I should pray for one another. Amen? It's amazing to see that through struggles and they're praying for us. So if you have time, just go out and pray and have a good time with her. We've seen in the bulletin, there's many prayer requests that we see. Doris Sane and Joseph's brothers, Paul and sister Jessie Jane. Jean, but also Lynn Dupuis, and that's Matt Dupuis' mom. She had a small heart attack not too long ago, and he's asking for prayer. We want to pray for Matt's mom, that the Lord would just touch her physically, spiritually, everything in her body, in her life. Do we believe a God can answer prayers? We sure do. So I want you just to bow your head just one moment of your time. And I'm not going to pray, but I want every one of you just to look at this bulletin. You know who the people are. Take a minute of your time and just all together in your own way, just pray and ask God to move on these people right now. We believe in the power of prayer. And when a church prays together, great things happen. Amen? Great things happen. So let's take a moment and just pray right now. If it's for a family, a friend, someone you know who is hurting, someone you know who is down, someone you know who is sick, just pray right now. Take the moment together in silence. Let's do it together. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, that your mighty hand will be upon the family of God. Be with the sick, Father. Be with Doris. Be with, oh, Father, with Eunice, oh, God. Be, Father, with Matt's mom. We ask it in the name of Jesus that you would just touch her in a mighty, precious way. Be with our families who are suffering. Be with our families who are sorrowed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Something is going to happen. Some family is going to be touched. And we believe in the power of prayer. And I know that when we pray, something happens. Amen. So sometimes you might not see it in the right time, in the moment that you want to see it, but God does work in ways that you and I can even imagine. He does work in people's lives. This morning I want to share with you something. I titled it, Be Filled, Being Filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God. Now I noticed that a lot of times Christians have accepted Christ as the personal Savior, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and then they wonder why they're not even continue walking with the Lord, or they don't feel something in their life happening. It's because being filled with the Spirit of God is an ongoing process. You got to go daily to God, sanctify yourself daily, going to God and say, and fill me again with your Spirit of God. Many Christians have come to know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. They read the Word, they worship God, but we forget to teach that you got to go back to God every single day and ask Him to fill you with the Spirit of God. Because only the Spirit of God gives you life. Flesh cannot defeat flesh, but the Spirit of God defeats the flesh. That's why lots of people around you that is not here is because, yes, they have accepted Christ, but they forgot to go to their source, and that is the Spirit of God daily. Do you believe that with me this morning? I am just started. I encourage you to take some notes this morning. There's some key important things this morning, and there's a verse that I want to bring out this morning with you. Some of you might say, not that verse. Maybe some others will say, yes, that verse. And I'm going to get to that point later on. We see Jesus, He was with a large group of people and disciples, and we find in Luke. Generally, we think as a disciples is a small group of people. But there was a large group of people following Jesus. If you take time, you look at Luke, you will see that. And in Luke 6, you will see that He brings together a large group of disciples. And of this group, He selected 12 people to be His apostles. And I don't know why He chose the 12 people. But knowing there was a large group, He did choose 12 disciples. And we don't know all about their stories, but we do know some of them were fishermen, some of them were tax collectors, and there was even a spiritual zealot, one of whose is a political party. Yeah, a politician was even there. However, He did not choose them because of their theology background. They had no theology at all. He did not choose them because of their training. Jesus just chose these 12 disciples. But it was interesting, in the few chapters later in Luke, if you could take the time and read it, the disciples, little of experience, maybe they walked with Jesus a few months with Him. They have seen and they have heard what Jesus was doing. So a few months after that, we see Jesus, the disciples following Him. And now all of a sudden, Jesus says, go and do what I have done. And they came back in Luke chapter 9, verse 10. They returned and they reported that they have done in the name of Jesus. They casted out demons, they healed the sick, they proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the only thing that happens there, it's not because of their own strength. It was the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God that did those things in people's lives. And those disciples, a little bit of experience they had with Jesus, but Jesus had given power and authority upon their lives. And this is what we're missing, my brothers and sisters. It is the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ upon our lives. And when you go daily in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and then fill you with the Spirit of God daily, there's great things that will come out. Because it is only the Spirit of God who can do all things. The only answer was the Spirit of God. In Luke 9, verse 1, here it is. We see when Jesus had called the 12 of them, He gave them what? Power and authority. If you didn't give them power and authority, those demons would never fly out of the people's lives. Those men would never be healed, or those women would never be healed. But it is the power and the authority that drove out those demons and cured diseases. Two things, power and authority. And what do you think about that? It's all because when you do get this power of God and the authority of Jesus Christ upon your life, all these things happen. And now we see that even in Acts, there's something important what He told the disciples in 120 in that room. And He said, wait. And once you wait, the Holy Spirit comes upon your life. Then you go. And what do? You go with the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. And you cast out demons in people's lives. The important thing is, my brothers and sisters, without the Spirit of God, you can't do nothing. You need that Spirit of God in your life daily. Jesus wanted to remind him that it's the Spirit of God. It is the one indispensable resource for every believer. For every believer. to be who God has called him to be and to do what God has called him to do. The Spirit of God is the only one resource you cannot do without. There's many people around the world who read the Word. There's many people around the world who hear the message. There's many people around the world who sit in churches and hear and even worship. There's many around the world who sit and hear the Word of God every Sunday. But without the Spirit of God, there is nothing. It is about the Spirit of God that is important for us. This is not normal. This is not normal Christian. Lifeless, powerless, spiritless. That's not the type of Christian that God wants us to be. The reality to normal Christian is filled with the Spirit working miracles. It is done in the power, and that's normal Christianity. The problem is when we become so normal living in the flesh, it becomes abnormal. My encouragement to you this morning is that we live a life Spirit fullest daily. It's not a one-time thing. It is a daily going to infill yourself with the Spirit of God every single day of your life. And I will explain to you this morning the importance of that, why we should, how we should do it. There is no possible way that we will ever be ambitious for the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God. If you have no ambitions, it's because you don't have the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you straight. I know some people tell me in this place, I am too strong with the Word. It's not the Word. It's not me. It's the Word that speaks to our hearts. We like to go to church and we like to sing and we like to worship. And that's good. We need to do that. But when it comes to the Word of God, we close our hearts. Our brother just prayed that God soften our hearts to accept the Word of God and to act and obey what you have for us. Let me tell you something. Worship is not going to bring you to heaven. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ will bring you to heaven. It's that infilling of the Holy Spirit daily that overcomes the flesh. Oh, the flesh destroys us daily. That flesh takes control of our life. And I'm going to share a verse with you this morning. You're going to be shocked at which verse I'm going to be taking. It is sad that which to be the indispensable resource, that the one thing that we have in our lives, that third person of Trinity that we sometimes talk about and most times scared of, the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, I need you more. And fill me with your Spirit every day in my life. Ephesians 5:18, this is the verse we're going to get today. And don't get drunk with wine. Oh, some brothers will say, I love wine. Which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled by the Spirit. I am not going to be telling you to drink wine or not, or beer or not. That's not my goal here. You have to understand the context and the culture of this text. You got to understand why Paul is writing this to Ephesians. And some of us look at this and look at it out of context. If we understand this verse, what Paul is saying down in a nutshell, I'm going to tell you right now. Because, I want to save some time, I'm not going to go all my notes. Because the Ephesians, Ephesus, those people, they were a cult. And they used to get drunk to hear from their gods. That's why Paul is saying it doesn't make any sense. It's talking about other things to walk worthy, to live a worthy life, and all of a sudden, drunkenness comes in. And did you ever wonder why that thing is in between all that Ephesians? Talks about wives and husbands, wives be submissive to your husband. And all of a sudden, the drunkenness comes there. It's because Paul knew, he says, you don't have to get drunk to hear from God, but be filled by the power of God. That's when you hear from God. You got to be filled by the power of God to hear from Him. Someone who is drunk saying, you cannot focus, you cannot hear from God. Because that is controlling your life. And when you're under the influence, you're influenced by alcohol, you're influenced by addiction, you're influenced even by an addiction or anger or bitterness. You cannot hear from God if you are in that level. But once you release yourself from all ungodly controls and let be controlled by the power of God, now you can hear from God. That's the key. And you look around and say, why is my son not here? And I ask myself, why is my cousin's not here? Why is my uncle's not here? It's because, yeah, they accepted Jesus, but along the way, they forgot to go back and to be filled by the Spirit of God. My goal and my encouragement is that every single day of our lives, we seek the Spirit of God. That gives us that fuel. It gives us that encouragement. It gives us that motivation. It helps us, that wisdom. It is the Holy Spirit that gives it to us. And how could you do it if your person is controlled by something? The first point, what Paul is trying to say here, is to be free from all ungodly controls. It's not just about the wine, what he's trying to say here. He's not trying to say wine is wrong. Because they knew their history of it. They knew what kind of people they were. Now, if I know that someone is an alcoholic in the past, what I'm going to try to say is the same thing what Paul is trying to say here. If you want to hear from God, don't go back. Don't go back to the alcohol. Because that's going to just, you can't hear from God. It's controlling your life. But once you let yourself go to that, and he said, I'm encouraging him, you don't have to be drunk. You don't have to drink all those wine to hear from your gods. No, you have to be filled with the Spirit of God so you can hear from him. People might say this morning, oh, I thank you, Pastor, for talking about the wine. You should do it every more often. And some of you might say, no, don't think about that because I like wine. But it's not about the wine that I'm trying to say here this morning. It's about to be free from ungodly controls, because you and I know wine destroys families. You have experienced it in your homes. You have experienced a mom or a dad who's an alcoholic. It destroyed relationships. It killed homes. But it's not just the wine that can destroy relationships. It is bitterness. It is an unforgiving spirit. Something that's controlling our life destroys. And our real goal today is to let go of the ungodly controls. And let God control you. And when God controls you and I, this place will explode. Do you believe that this morning? Mean it. When you say amen, let's mean it. Time is short. The days are evil. It's getting shorter and shorter as the days pass. So why not take this opportunity to elect God to control your life? To be free from ungodly controls. He brings this alcohol and all of a sudden into this Ephesians 5. And as a prisoner, Paul's saying, for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Ephesians 4:1. God has called you, and he's telling us to live a worthy life. He has called every single one of us from the front to the back to live a worthy life. So flee from the all ungodly controls. It says, be careful in verse 15. If we go there in Ephesians 5, I'm just going to read it for you. Be careful then how you live, not unwise, but as wise. Look at that. Not unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand. You see the way it's saying? It's like, don't steal, But you follow the conscience right here? Don't hate, but love. Don't be unwise, but be wise. And that's what he's telling us in Ephesians 5:18. Don't drink, but be filled. It's the same context he's trying to say right there. Biblical context, it makes sense. It makes sense in the culture context. That's why Paul was telling them about the alcohol, about don't drink, it leads you to wrong actions. And they were in spiritualism and magic and spiritualism, occults, including belief in magical spells and spirit powers. That's why he said those words. Now, if you ever wonder what it was, why it said that, that's what it means. If you do the history and do some research on that, that's what he was trying to say. The belief of Ephesians had this culture. Drunkenness was not bad for them because they heard from their gods. So Paul writes a specific culture and he presents the drunkenness knowing it was a culture temptation. Now, like we said, alcohol does destroy people. But it's not just the alcohol like I was saying before. It's not just that that controls people. It can be addictions. It can be anything else. It can be attitudes. It can be substance. It can be unforgiving spirit, lies. And the list can go on and on and on. That there's something that can control someone's life. It's not just alcohol. In Romans 6:16 says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. In 2 Peter 2:19, they promise them freedom, while they make themselves as slaves of depravity, for people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. It doesn't just say alcohol. So anything that is controlling your life, you become a master of it. You become a slave to that. If you get up in the morning, the first thing is that you have an unforgiving spirit. I can't forgive. It's controlling you. If you get up in the morning and you start saying, oh, I need that cigarette, it's controlling you. Or if it's alcohol, or if it's bitter, or if it's anger, if it's hate towards someone, it's controlling you, and you become a slave to it. But no, we are free in Jesus' name. And how are you going to let those ungodly controls in your life? The only way it's going to win, the only way you're going to do it and overcome these things is you and I daily go and to be filled by the Spirit of God and ask Him to control your life. I love this topic. Because we try to break our heads and we say, why is the church not filled? And then you examined it. Oh, but he accepted Christ. Why is he not here? Because he read the word the way I read the word. But it's the Spirit of God that is the most important thing. You can have a nice Ferrari, but if there's no gas inside, it won't go anywhere. Just a little station right here. There's no water. It died. It's an ongoing thing daily to come into your life and say, Lord, fill me again. Look at this. It's dead. It is so dry. And how can the fruits come out of something that is dry? How can the fruits come out of it when it's controlled by something else? But once you're controlled by the Spirit of God, there is love. Oh, there is patience. There is self-control. Oh, yeah, there is kindness. There is power from God. And when you lay your hand on someone, healings happen. That's what we're lacking. Oh, I prayed, but you didn't pray for the Spirit of God. You just prayed in your own flesh. Flesh cannot beat the flesh, brothers and sisters. It is the Spirit of God who defeats the flesh. It is the Spirit of God who defeats the flesh. You can't be controlled by money. You can't be controlled by your future. I got to save because I don't know what happens tomorrow. Yeah, you got to save. We don't know. But if you're just controlled and that's the only thing you think of, it's controlling your life. bitterness, anger, hate, and thousands of things that control a human life, including myself. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself first. I preach to myself first to see this. So it doesn't make any sense, God. Yeah, you're right, God. I got to go back daily to you and ask for the Holy Spirit to be in my life daily, to be filled by the power of God. Because once you're filled by the power of God, now you're not controlled by the ungodly things. You're controlled by the power of God. Second thing that I want to share with you first is you got to flee from the ungodly controls. And second is submission to the Spirit. You die so you can live. You deny so you can follow. Paul is saying flee from the ungodly things so you can be controlled by the Spirit of God. Church, you cannot be on two stages. You or you're in or you're out. It is a command. It's not an option. It's not optional. It is a command by God. And also it is a continual command to go and seek the Spirit of God daily in your life. Remember that day. Ephesians 1:13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him with a zeal, a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit came into your life and it sealed your heart. But you know something, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. If that verse is there, if we can go on, there's a verse in chapter 4 of Ephesians. What does it say here? Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve. That means when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, it's not all perfect and dandy. And you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? When something can controls of our life. When something besides God, besides the Holy Spirit controls our life, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. So if you grieve the Holy Spirit, if you hurt someone, what do? Forgive me. Is that logic sense? It's the same thing right here. The Holy Spirit is there. You and I can grieve the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we got to do is, Lord, I grieved you today. Oh, forgive me. And fill me again with the Spirit of God. Because we can't do it on our own. It's telling us to do it daily. Continuously going to God. Sanctification is something that we forget in our messages, in our services, in our churches. It sounds good. It feels good. I'm okay. It's beautiful. But do you have to go to Christ every day? We have to go to Christ every day. To wash us every day. I don't think you wear the same clothes for 5 weeks without being washed. But once you wash those clothes, you wash it every day. To have it cleaned every day. You got to go to Christ every day. It's not once a week. Because you're going to start to smell. Then it becomes once a week. You say, I can wait another 2 weeks. And you wait 3 weeks. Pass by. And then you become like this because we forget to water it. That's my heart for this church in 2018. That all of us, including myself, will seek the Spirit of God and the filling of the Holy Spirit daily. And once you and I do that, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. You're already sealed. Remember that. We're sealed. But we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Sin can bring grief to the God. Sinful desires, the filthy talk, stealing, uncontrolled anger, lying, manipulation. That word we never hear much in the church. Yeah, there are people who manipulate. There are people who try to gain themselves credit all the time. That grieves the Holy Spirit. If you want to be a Christian, you got to walk like Christ. And let go of the things that need to let go. And let the Spirit of God control you daily. Many times we fail on this important part. and even in churches. The moment someone accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, we tell them, read the Word, be active in the church, worship the Lord, and all those things are important. But we forget to tell them that the most important thing is a progressive sanctification, is what gradually separates the people of God from the world and makes them more and more like Jesus Christ. Sanctification is a key word in our spiritual walk with Christ. We daily need to go to God and ask Him to fill us with the Spirit. And if you don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit daily, you won't be the person God has called you to be. That's why Paul, that's why the Jesus gave them when they prayed and the Spirit of God came saying, wait for a moment, you don't move. But when the Spirit of God comes, now you go out and do it. You can't do anything without the Spirit of God. You can do all you want. You can be intelligent. You can be smart. You can have all the methods you want. You can have an axe, but if it's not sharpened, that tree's not going to go down. You can do all the programs you want. You can do all the outreaches you want, but if it's not by the Spirit of God, it's not going to work. If you're doing it because of your own gain, it's not going to work. You need the Spirit of God to be in your life daily. Because it is only that Spirit, when I bent down, when I got on my knees, it is only that Spirit of God that transformed my life. It is only the Spirit of God that transformed everybody's lives here. No man transformed you. It was God. It was that Spirit. It was that moment, that day when you were at the altar and knelt down and you cried and you said, come down, Lord. And when He did, that's when He transformed your life completely. No one did it for you. It was Him. It was only Him that did it. We need to go to Him daily. And I quote this, everything God wants to do in you and through you depends upon the degree to which you are filling, you're filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be a missionary. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't do anything. I want to do this or that. Don't have the Spirit of God, you don't do anything. What does it mean, being filled with the Spirit of God? Very simple words. One word, control. If you are filled by the Spirit of God, He controls you. And once He controls you, all things are different. Our words are different. Our actions are different. Our thoughts are different when you allow Him to control your life completely. Doesn't make any sense. I'm a Christian and then I backstab someone. It doesn't make any sense for you and I. Because now you allowed whatever that thought came into your life to backstab it. So you and I are all sinners. Including myself, I need to go home daily and say, Lord, take control. Holy Spirit, fill me again. So my words will come out differently. Instead of backstabbing Him, pick Him up and say, can I pray blessings upon your life? It's tough. The enemy does that to destroy us. The enemy plays with the people's minds in the churches. Yeah, you can read the Word. The enemy knows the Word. But without the Spirit of God, you can't go anywhere. I pray that you understand what God is trying to tell us. In Acts 2, they were influenced. You see, when they say, you're drunk, you guys are influenced by alcohol. No, we're being controlled by the Spirit of God. People thought that they were influenced by alcohol, but they were contrary. They were under the influence by the Holy Spirit. Spirit of Christ living in us. So in living and being controlled by the Spirit of God being filled by the Spirit of God is being controlled by the Spirit of God. So is that what we want as New Hope Christian Assembly? Friends, is that what we want, to be filled by the Spirit of God daily upon your life? Many of us have done wrong things. It is so easy for you and I to say, oh, she did that or he did that. You actually did it before that person. You judged. That simple we can fall. So Lord, so when I get to prayer, when I take a moment of my time, I say, fill me again, Lord. Because I want to be controlled by you, not by my flesh. So once you're controlled, here it is. If you need assurance, if you need guidance, if you need grace, if you need sanctification and strength, all these things come from the Spirit of God. It doesn't come from flesh. It comes from the Spirit of God. In Galatians 5, 16, 20, 26, look at this. I say, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict of each other, so that you are not do whatever you want. Next. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, all that drunken adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. How many of you know people who have fits of rage? Selfish ambition. Oh, Lord, help us with that word. And envy, and drunkenness, and orgies. All of that. It's not my word. It's God's word. And I warn you, as I did before, to those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's powerful. Go on. But the fruit of the Spirit. When you're controlled by the Spirit of God. Here it is. It is love. It is joy. It is peace and forbearance and kindness and good and faithfulness and gentleness. Oh, you're so sweet, brother. So sweet, brother. And self-control. Oh, I told you, brother, I should have done. No, self-control. Many, many even Christian families have been separated because they lost that self-control. I need more of you, Holy Spirit, so I can have self-control, so I can have that faithfulness, so I can have that goodness and that kindness and that love and that peace that I'm longing to have. It is only by the Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life every single day, you got to ask for. It's not a one-time deal. Remember, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. So it's not a one-time deal. And against such things, there is no law. Does it continue? I was getting excited. Does it continue? No? There is another verse, by the way. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. But verse 25 is a key word. I want to take out there something here. Look at this here. You're going to read this, verse 25. You're going to read this, and you're going to probably even look at what's important there. Look at 25. Since we live by the Spirit, oh, look at this word. I love it so much. Let us keep in step. That means process, progress. Every day walk towards spiritual maturity. Every day walk towards the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not one place. It's not one time. But it's every day take that step and say, I need more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. That's what it is. Step forward. It doesn't tell you to stay still. The significance of that is to move forward. The significance of that is I need more of you. More of your Spirit. Fill me again, Lord, today, so my ungodly controls are away and I'm controlled by the Spirit of God. So some of you might have looked at the, I don't need that. No, you do need that, and I need that. Trust me, I speak to a lot of people here. We all need that.
because our flesh comes in. You know, it never happened to some of you. At 7 o'clock, you're filled by the Spirit of God. And at 7:15, you already lost it. Am I the only one? Oh, it was a beautiful service. The moment you walk outside, you tell off your wife. Human, the flesh kicked in, huh? So don't we need the Spirit of God? 9 o'clock, oh, what a wonderful worship service. You turn your back, it was too long. What was that? The flesh kicked in. The flesh cannot win the flesh. It is only the Spirit of God who can win the flesh. So why not to go to the resource, indispensable, the only resource, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Why are we afraid of? But seek it and say, I need you. And it will make your life easier to overcome the flesh. It will make our life easier. It will overcome the flesh. All of a sudden at 7 o'clock, you accept, you had a wonderful presence of God. 7:15, you lost your patience, whatever it is that happened, by a phone call, by a conversation, by a wrong statement. It happens at times. Wrong communication. We lost. Human came out of us. Like the wolf came out of us. All of a sudden, what we have done, we have grieved the Holy Spirit. It's a Spirit that will accomplish in us what we all want so bad if you are a child of God. One question. Very simple, practical ways. How are we going to be filled with the Spirit of God? But Lord, Pastor, I've accepted Jesus, sealed, I'm there. How do I be filled with the Spirit of God? Three things that we need to do. The first thing is we need to repent. Whatever that is controlling you, than the Spirit of God, something else than the Spirit of God, whatever that's controlling you, you must repent. Ask for forgiveness. Second thing, pray. I have a slide for it, by the way, but it's going a little bit slow. It's a computer, a 256 computer, very old. So it goes like this. We pray and we ask for forgiveness. The second thing, here's the second thing. Pray and ask for forgiveness. That, first of all, I made a mistake there. I was a little bit tired when I did this. I wrote my notes, I wrote it twice because I've lost it the first time. I didn't save, so I had to do it again. So the first is repent. The second thing is pray. Ask Him for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. Which of the fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you know then, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? So if you ask, He's going to give it to you. That's as simple as is. Ask and you'll get it. And the third thing is, I like to repent. I like to pray. But is obey as you're walking in the Spirit. Through the word that you read, through someone who speaks you through the word, through a message, whatever it is, act on what is being said according to the word. We forget the obedience. I can repent. I can pray. But when you're in the Spirit now, and the Spirit of God speaks to you and working in your life, you've got to obey and act on it. He will speak to you. And now we've got to act on it. Make a decision to obey. And as we choose to obey, we are remaining in the Spirit of God. And when you disobey, you grieve the Holy Spirit. It's very strong to do that. But we can do it because we have the Spirit of God to let us overcome the desires of our flesh. And as conclusion this morning, As the brothers will come forward, I want to conclude and leave you some thoughts this morning. Remember Barabbas. The Bible tells us he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. We say he was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us in a great number of people who were brought to the Lord because of that. And then also Stephen, when he's being stoned to death, the Bible tells us he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He looked up. He looked up, and heavens saw the glory and Jesus standing there on the right hand of God. You and I can be full of the Holy Spirit if we constantly going to Him daily and asking Him to fill your life again. It's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday continuous progress, continuing taking that step and say, Lord, I need more of your Spirit. So the words will come out of my mouth. My actions will come out of my mouth. Words that come out of my mouth, my actions will be different. It will be impacting the lives of people instead of destroying the lives of people. So as I conclude, what controls you this morning? Is it a habit? Is it a desire? Is it a passion? What is controlling you? And when you know what is controlling, when you identify it, repent, pray, and obey, and act on it. You can play, Brother Quentin. If there's someone here who has not accepted Christ and is being controlled by the ungodly controls, I encourage you this morning to take that step. Give Him that little minute of your time. And you will see when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and to take control of your life, you'll be a different person. Not only that you'll be a different person, but you will have and you will be in the kingdom of God with all His children and brothers and sisters together. You will have eternity when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. So if you have not made that decision and said, no, I've never tried Jesus in my heart. And who is this Jesus? Who is this Holy Spirit you're talking about? Take the moment this morning if you have never done that. If you never took that step of faith, I encourage you to do so. I'm going to conclude in a way this morning. If you have never accepted Christ, I'd like you to take that step forward and come forward and say, I need you, Jesus. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I can't do it without you, God. And if you ask Him, He will help you. God has a plan for you and has a purpose for each and every one of us here. Church, maybe there's some people here this morning that will love the infilling of the Holy Spirit once again upon their life. Ask Him and you will receive it. That's as simple as it is. Repent, pray when you ask, and you will receive it. The Bible tells us in Psalm 81:10, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. How many of you want the filling of the Holy Spirit once again in your life? Let's all stand to our feet this morning. You desperately want that infilling of the Holy Spirit. As Brother Ulrich will sing that song that I really wanted to sing, Lord. When he sings that song this morning, fill my cup, Lord. And I lift it up, Lord. And Sandy goes on and says, come and quench the thirst of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more, but fill my cup, fill it up. And make me whole. Let's not waste any time. If you want the filling of the Holy Spirit once again upon your life, and you want the Holy Spirit to control you, as we sing, come. Come, there's room at the altar. Let's pray and ask in the filling of the Holy Spirit upon right now. Let's do it right now. As he starts to sing, in filling of the Holy Spirit, let him come into your life.